Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Envision Me Talk Show. So, as I always do, first and foremost, how is everybody doing? Drop it in the feed. And you all know I'm always giving you three. I'm going to say it again, three, because everyone's like, oh my God, three homework assignments. The first one is today's Win Wednesday. What's your win for this week? I love celebrating you. And it's so important for us to celebrate each other. So drop it in the feed and tell me your win for today. Then number two, go grab your pen, paper, along with your girlfriends, family members, because the next guest that I'm bringing onto the stage is going to be amazing. She's going to drop some gems and you're going to learn more about her and you know where she's from. And then lastly, all you guys know that it is Win Wednesday and you're to bring everybody, but also to tell me what is your what's next. Drop it in the feed. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Pam Stone. I am your host of Envision Me Talk Show, the place where I bring empowering, aspiring women to help you pivot to your what's next. And so today's guest, I can't wait for you to know who she is. Let me bring her on. Hello, Miss Tibby. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Doing fine.
So are you ready for today?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
I am too. It's been in the works for how long?
About a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been some time.
Yeah.
It's been some time. I'm so glad that you're here and I'm excited to have you on here with me. Before we jump into today's show, tell everybody just a little bit of who Tabitha Porter is.
Well, my name is Tabitha Porter and I was born and raised here in Columbus, Ohio. Went to Ohio State and Ohio University. I'm a singer, a songwriter. I love the theater. I love acting. I love writing. And so that's kind of what I do, kind of a hodgepodge of all that together. It's therapeutic. And so yeah, we're going to talk about the therapeutics and what your giftings can do to help you when you're in a place of trauma.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to, because look, just I'm going to give you a little hint. I was doing some research on you.
Uh-oh.
Miss Tibby, you can blow. I mean, your voice is amazing, but we'll talk more about that. But first and foremost, one important part that I wanted us to talk about is the topic was unveiling of broken pieces. And people don't know what broken pieces is, but do you have your book yet?
Yes, ma'am.
So everybody look. Yay! We finally get to talk about it, but it is a book and she's going to talk to you a little bit about it. Go ahead, tell everybody a little bit about the book. And then look, I did my homework, so I'm going to ask you questions.
Okay. So my book is about a little girl who grew up in a church, two-parent household, started her singing career in the church and was sexually abused. And it was a secret for a very, very long time. And this little girl was threatened. And so she was afraid to tell, and she didn't. So she held a secret for a very, very long time. And because that secret traumatized her to a huge extent, the ramifications of that trauma put her in the position to feel hurt and damage and pain that was catastrophic and affected her life as a little girl, as an adolescent, as a teenager, and into adulthood.
That is what a trauma for a child to face. So it's really hard for a child to even face something of that magnitude. And so one part that I did read several parts of it, but one part that I wanted to talk about is where every word that was written was a comment with tears had dropped. And as the tears dropped, there was gratitude that came with it. What was the gratitude behind all of that?
Well, I know you would think, where does gratitude come in when something that catastrophic has happened?
Yes.
But the gratitude is, I made it to the other side. And so how can you not be grateful to make it to the other side when so many people that experience that kind of trauma don't make it to the other side. And so for that reason alone, I am eternally grateful that God allowed me to make it to the other side. And I have to believe that making it to the other side was for the reason so that I could share my story so other women and children and men can shortcut some of that trauma and make it to the other side and not experience trauma for a lifetime.
Absolutely. And that's so true. And one thing I want to talk about too is, before we go any further, I know that this broadcast is seen worldwide and nationwide. So there at the bottom of the screen, I did put the sex trafficking hotline. If anyone knows of someone, or if it's yourself that is in that situation, here is a number that someone can help you, or where you can seek you some help, which I think is so important. As we are out here empowering, inspiring women, this is one way we can do it. So Miss Tibby, as the story unfolds, and I, again, thank you for sharing this. I think it's very important that we get your voice out, but I also feel that the story needs to be shared because so many women and men are faced in this abuse, but they don't know how to even get out. And so for you to share it, it's showing them there is a way out, and you're giving them that security. Okay, she's doing it. But knowing that you did it, how did you even get to that point? You know, it takes a lot. So how did you get there?
Well, it was a journey. It was a very long journey. Sad to say, I wish it would have taken a shorter amount of time, but God does everything for a reason. Partially because back then there were no areas, safe spaces to talk about sexual abuse. And you know, back in those days, people said what happened in the home stayed in the home. And it was easier to sweep those kind of incidents under the rug rather than talk about them, deal with them, and make people accountable and deal with consequences. And so for that reason, it made it easier just to be quiet. True. And they didn't have a safe space to talk about that. I mean, I didn't talk about it for many, many years because I didn't feel comfortable doing it. And outside of my mother, who was going to believe me? And that was the other part.
Wow. So how did you even get to this? I know you had said it took you a journey and it took you a long time. And so now after you've traveled that journey and you talked to your mom, how did you even forgive the individual? I know you talked about that in one of the interviews I just followed.
Well, first of all, the forgiveness was the hardest thing of the entire equation to do, because you have to process, how do you forgive someone that has violated you on that level, has invaded your space, took your innocence away? That's a really, really hard thing to do. And I spent most of my life trying to figure out how to make that happen because I actually did not know how to do it. I didn't even want to do it. And that's the first thing, is I did not want to forgive. At that time in my life, I didn't even feel like, why should I forgive somebody that has committed that kind of offense against me? Why would I want to? And at that time in my life, I didn't want to, in all honesty. I didn't want to forgive.
Wow. And I understand that. But again, as you said, it's all glory to God that he has given you the strength and the guidance to give, to forgive. And he's bringing you over that journey to forgive, which I think is so amazing. As you continue your healing, are you seeking counseling? I believe that we as a community always say it's not for us, but are you seeking, or had you seek counseling for the journey?
This kind of a journey, you need all roads of recovery. Every single thing that you can latch on that is an avenue to help you heal. Mm-hmm. And everybody heals differently. Yes, but counseling is imperative because you have to be able to get it out of you. And in some kind of way, there has to be a safe space created so that you can feel comfortable enough to talk. Think about it. Holding a secret for that many years, not telling, not being able to process it, because number one, this is a mind of a child. Right. This is catastrophic for an adult. But think about an adolescent who's trying to process the fact that they have been violated in that kind of way? How do they talk about it? How do they communicate it? I mean, it's really a hard thing for anyone to do, but a child, that's even harder.
I so agree with you. It's so hard for a child to do this. And as your book of Broken Pieces, again, I want you to share that with everybody. The Broken Pieces book, what would you like for the readers to get out of the book?
Well, the biggest reason, actually, I had a conversation about to God. We talked about it, and the conversation wasn't a good one. I didn't want to do it. I didn't understand why I needed it to share it. And what God said to me is that it's not about you. I had to get to that point and understand. I had to get over myself. I had to make myself get out of the way just so I could be used as a vessel to even communicate it. And so once I understood that it was not about me, but it was about the lives of other young girls who I know I wasn't the only one. And later on, I found out, wow, so many young girls now, since I've written the book, have shared their stories, have confided in me that they went through the same thing, even with the same person. So it becomes a matter of sharing. It's a testimony of what God can really do, how that you can heal, how you can make it to the other side. And if I don't tell it, if we don't tell it, if we don't share it, then that means somebody else may not heal.
So true. We have women sitting here and they're like, okay, I'm going through this. What would be your piece of advice to them right now?
To open your mouth. Because you have to understand, this kind of trauma makes you speechless. Because there's guilt and shame that's attached to it. When you're violated in that way, it's not something that you want to talk about. It's not something that you want to share because you're ashamed. You know, you've been violated. And so you don't want to share that information with anyone. It took me 5 years to share the information with my mother, who's the closest person in the world to me. But I was threatened and I was told, if you tell her, harm would come to my mother. Well, my mother meant the world to me. Mm-hmm. So for me as a child, I thought, I'm saving my mom. In the mind of a child, you know, I thought that I was helping by not talking, that I was saving my mother, that the remote chance of her being hurt, I couldn't handle it. So for me, I decided to not tell so I could save her.
Wow. So knowing that you spoke and know, but it has helped you now in look where you're at. As your healing journey, we're going to talk about this, everyone. Let me tell you guys, this amazing woman, we talked about her journey of healing. And one of the healing mechanisms that she uses is singing. And Ms. Tibby, you have a beautiful voice. As I said before, I listen to your voice. I was following you as I was doing my research and seeing.
Oh, you were snooping around, were you?
Yes, of course. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Okay. You have a beautiful voice. So let me ask you this. As you're healing, and we did talk about song as you singing, what other mechanisms do you, or what else do you use to heal?
Well, the thing about it is the arts, period, not just singing, but the arts is a healing, a therapeutic mechanism, because you're the creativity that you do. Let's say I don't draw. I really cannot draw at all.
I don't believe you, but okay.
But for a person who can draw, the artistic, as they splash those colors on the canvas, you can only know how you're expressing the pain, the feeling. I mean, some kind of way you have to get that out of you. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, writing, singing, songwriting gave me an opportunity to express my thoughts, my feelings, my pain, my suffering. You know, I was able to put that in words. I'm a playwriter. And so I've been writing plays since I was 19, and I literally know that that was one of the mechanisms that kept me from going absolutely crazy. The ability to create situations and scenarios in writing plays, and the result, the resolution of those plays, being able to end it in a way, you know, that that was a, gave me a place of closure. So you could start out with something that was going on in the play, and at the end, it was resolved. It was taken care of. It was cultivated. It was fixed. That's a source of healing when you can create an environment that is a safe space for you to create, be yourself, be transparent, because only until you're transparent, you're really playing with yourself. You know, you're really not identifying what the pain is and where it's coming from. Some kind of way you need a catharsis to help you vent and get those things out of you so that you can go to the next place of healing, because this is a process. There's no quick fix to healing trauma. You know, I spent a lot of time in prayer. I spent a lot of time on my face. I spent a lot of time talking to God. I spent a lot of time in the room screaming, asking God, why did this happen to me? It was a process. This did not happen overnight. This took years, decades. And the reason why I'm speaking out today is because it doesn't have to take that long. Mm-hmm. There are avenues of healing. There's counseling and all kind of things that have been made available that did not exist when I was coming up. And so there's no reason to suffer. There's no reason to stay in pain today, because there are avenues. And, you know, the biggest thing, my biggest source of healing was God.
Yeah.
Me just in his face, in his presence, letting him shine the light on me, because I was in a dark place, you know, and through it all, I had to figure out how to find the light. And he was the light.
I understand that. I so agree. Your energy is amazing when we're around each other. I want to go back to the playwriting. So when are we going to see the when are we going to see the play, Miss Tibby?
Well, I'm scripting right now, and I'm not sure if we're scripting for play. I really have movie in my spirit. I really have movie in my heart. And so I've directed my energy to script writing in terms of a movie. And that's what I'm feeling in my spirit. That is what God has given to me. Don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but he already let me know that it is. And so I'm cool. However it comes out, I believe that it will.
I know it will. I know it will. I can't wait. Look, now I can't wait to see what it's going to be all about and everything. Well, Miss Tibby, what would be a piece of advice that you would like to first and foremost leave people, women, to even after you've healed? What would you like to talk about the healing piece?
You know, I don't force religion. People seek the higher power the way they do. But I can tell you what worked for me. I talked to God candidly, just like I'm talking to you, not like a spiritual entity. Mm-hmm. I spoke to him just like I'm talking to you. And I let him know that I was hurt and that the pain touched me so deeply that I could not function with the giftings that I know that God had given me. I knew that he had put creativity in me, and there was something that was holding me back. The old song said something that was holding the reins. Something was holding me back, and I couldn't be the full me. And it was the trauma that had me stuck in a place where I couldn't move freely the way I wanted to. I couldn't create. I could sing, but I couldn't sing. I could write, but I couldn't write. You know, there was just something that kept me from being 100%. And that thing kept me shackled. And that thing was the forgiveness. I had not forgiven. And let me tell you this, and I know that this may sound crazy, but if you don't forgive the person that committed that atrocity against you, you're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself, because the forgiveness is not for them. It's so that you can free yourself, so that you can unshackle yourself, so that you can come out of a place of bondage, a place of darkness, free yourself, so that you can move into the destiny place that God has for you. And he has a destiny place for all of us.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes longer than others to find what that place is. But I can guarantee you, as long as you don't forgive, you have shackled yourself to the very sin that was committed against you.
That is so true. You're absolutely right. Well, now, Tibby, how are you doing today? Now, how's Tibby doing today? Now,
bubbling with creativity. I'm sure to people that know me say, what is wrong with this girl? She has lost her mind. She's creating. She's all over the place. She's doing all these different things. And I know that it probably looks crazy to the normal person saying, how is she doing all that? But y'all don't know my story. You don't know my journey. You don't know the oil that was in my alabaster box, you know? So now it's bubbling. It's coming out from everywhere because it was on delay.
Mm.
It was on hold. It was stagnant and I couldn't move. So now it's like, Mary, Mary, you take the shackles off my feet.
Because I, know that's, right.
And now I can't keep still. It's just the opposite. I'm like a crazy lady, you know, because the creativity and the ideas and the different things that I want to do with my nonprofit to help women, all this is kind of coming out of me now. And God is putting it in place, you know, and he's making provision. He's making provision for stuff to happen.
And I see you. You know what, Miss Mary, excuse me. Look, you got me saying, because Mary, Mary, girl.
Mary, Mary.
So we had here, let me see if I can unmute her. I don't know if they want. Well, we have someone in the audience, but she didn't unmute. If you're listening, if you want to unmute, come on stage and I'll add you to the stage. Here we go. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Thank you for joining us. This is going to be fun. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hi, Tim. You're welcome.
Would you like to ask Tibby anything or say anything to her?
No, but I will comment on the she is in go motion. Her hand is in everything. She is being very productive. And now, and knowing her story, but now as she's saying, the shackles are off and a weight has been lifted, you know, and she's going and she's utilizing the gifts that God has given her.
She has.
And boy, she is putting it into action and favors all over her. So I crack up. I really do. You don't know it, Tibby, but I do. I honestly do. I crack up. Like, I see you at CJ's and then you at Double Take and then you, and then the movie, now you're out of town and then I I love it.
Rhonda is my administrative assistant, and so with all these projects and things I got going on, she keeps me on my square because she does all my administrative work, all my everything. So you know, I got her on my crazy journey. So I'm like the Long Ranger. She's Tonto.
I know that's right.
She keeps me together.
You know, in all honesty, to see someone flourish in their gifts, and then her story lets you know that it's never too late.
Absolutely.
It's never too late to step out to flourish, even though she's always done it. But the shine is different, is brighter.
Yeah.
And it's probably freer, too.
So true.
It's freer.
Mm-hmm. Since I've met her, I can see the stride in her walk is different than the first time she came. So I totally get it. Yeah, her stride is so totally different. And the smile on her face is brighter and bigger. So I'm thankful. No, thank you. So Miss Rhonda, I hope you hang out with us just for a little bit longer. We're almost done. But on this side of the show, Miss Tabitha, I can call you Tibby. I apologize.
Tibby is fine.
Miss Tibby, on this side of the show, we always talk about, now, as you hear, you're a busy woman, okay? I mean, busy. Mm-hmm. So as you're busy, what do you do for self-care for yourself to slow it down and take care of you?
You know, the nice thing is I have something to keep me centered and balanced. is my mother. Mm-hmm. My mom is 85 years old, and the wisdom of an owl. You hear me? She keeps me grounded. She keeps me focused. If I'm off my square, she snatches me back in with her cane. You know, and if I'm left to center, you know, she'll bring me back in. She's a prayer warrior. She prayed. Oh, when I tell you, my mother prayed over me. When I tell you, I was out of my mind. There was a point in time, you know, I was on drugs. I was out of my mind. And you're talking about a woman who grew up in the church.
Yes, ma'am.
Knew the Lord. Raised in the church. Was on the Ursher board. Young people's meeting. Choir. The whole nine. And it still happened to me. And I still fell in a dark place. Mm-hmm. So imagine, if you don't have something else guiding you, and it happened to me with all of that.
Right.
If you didn't have something else guiding you, my mama prayed for me.
Mm-hmm. And we need that.
She had me on her mind. And she was sincere with it as she scratched her head trying to figure out what was wrong with her wayward child. I didn't raise her to be like this. I didn't raise her to function like this. What's going on? And so because of that, I went away to college at 16, and my mother became a foster parent. Empty nest. I was gone. I had told her the truth. She knew. And now she was traumatized because her baby was traumatized.
Right.
And she felt the guilt and the shame because she wasn't there. My mom worked at nighttime, you know, and this happened to me at nighttime. And I didn't tell. And when I finally told her, she's like, wait a minute, how could this happen? How did I not know about it? And then both of us were bonkers for a while, you know? And of course, my mother did what any mother would do, try to kill the person that assaulted her daughter. And that's in the book too, where she just, you know, I mean, it was hurtful for her. Right. And she felt the guilt and the shame. And she began fostering. Working with young kids, girls, and she did it for 40 years.
Wow.
She was relentless in her journey to figure out what the heck was wrong with me. And 40 years later, 500 kids later, she ended up with the Jefferson Awards and the Lifetime Achievement Awards for putting her whole heart into girls who had been sexually abused, trying to find an answer of what happened to me. How did I fall by the wayside? How did I go left? And so she put her energy in for 40 years. I'm going to tell you, I was a foster parent for 12 years. I couldn't do it for 40. I couldn't do 40 it for 40
years. Wow,
but she did. And now those girls were healing under her love, under her caring, under her nurturing, her support, changed the lives, changed the trajectory of these young girls who would have been gone astray, never made it back. And not just that. She followed them after they came out of foster care. Some of them went to college. Others went to prison. She followed them. She stayed with them. She loved on them. She supported them. And when they got themselves together and they had children of their own, extended family, then we loved their kids. We wrapped around their children. And now we've got a few generations of kids who were loved and cared for from someone who you would say was a stranger who ended up being, and it doesn't have to be a biological parent to love on you. I'm going to tell you, because sometimes biological parents fall through the cracks. Things happen, situations happen, circumstances happen where they're not able to just carry the ball. But God will always send what they call a ram in the bush. Care for you and pick up the mantle and help you make it to that next level. And that's what my mom did. It was really all to figure out how to help me heal. She gave up 40 years of her life.
Wow. You know?
But it was worth it. Those kids love her. And now those kids have kids and they love her as well.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And thank you for sharing that. It is so awesome to have that. You know, a lot of people don't even have that support system. So for you to have that, that is just.
I wouldn't have made it back. I could not.
I couldn't imagine. It back I cannot imagine
without that support.
I truly understand that. So, Ms. Tony, normally we do book on the shelf, and we're always saying, "What book do you recommend?" But you have a book, and her book is called Broken Pieces. How can people get your book?
My book is on Amazon, Broken Pieces, Tabethia Porter. I also have a website that's tabethiaporter.com. If you check that link out, you'll see that there's a trailer there. Talks mm-hmm. about the book, but there's a trailer that I produced that tells you a little bit about the story, mm-hmm. about what that fear element was like as a girl waiting in the room, knowing that somebody was going to open up that door and come in after you. And so the trailer shows a little bit of what that feeling was like, what that fear component was like, and what it was, the relationship between a mother and daughter, trying to recapture the mother-daughter relationship, because we lost it for a while. Mm-hmm. Because she couldn't understand why I couldn't tell, why I didn't tell. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell? Why something that terrible? Why would you? She didn't understand. And it took trainings, you know, and lectures that she went to over the years to get an understanding that that is part of the cycle. Kids don't tell.
Right. And that's mm-hmm. so true. That is so true. And so, Ms. Tibby, what is your what's next?
Well, a couple of things that I'm praying over and contemplating, one of which is a workshop training that we would share information on what you use as healing process. And there's many ways to do it, mm-hmm. you know, therapeutic, spiritually, because you got to understand you're damaged emotionally. Mm-hmm. Your mind. And so, you know, it talks about the renewing of your mind. You know, that's what the Bible got something for everything. So it had a place for crazy too. So you got to get your mind back. You know, right. you got to right. get your brain back in order. Your thinking is altered with trauma. It's altered. Your mindset is, mm-hmm. you don't think the same. You don't speak the same. You don't feel the same. You're deadened. Your feelings are deadened. Mm-hmm. You know, in relationships, you're not the same. You're standoffish because you're right. fearful. How do you navigate a relationship? How do you act in a marriage? Those are things that are a process as well, because you have to learn how to mm-hmm. do all over again.
Right.
You've got to learn mm-hmm. how to overcome fear of being touched. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in marriage, touching happens. Right. So you got to figure out, how do you do that and not scare your partner away?
Right. That's so true.
How do you do your husband? Like, what is wrong with her? You're not supposed to throw up. You know, all of those things. And everybody's affected differently. You know, right. some people, it makes them hot tail. Mm-hmm. You know, promiscuity.
Yes.
You know.
Yep.
And then other people, they go to freeze. I froze. I didn't mm-hmm. want sex. I didn't want to be intimate. I didn't want to be touched. You know, and those are components that we have to talk about, because it's part of the healing process. We can no longer act, oh my God, we didn't get to. Yes, we have to talk about those things, because that is part of the healing process, so that you can become normal and whole again. We want to be jointly fit. We want to be whole. And in order to be whole, there are components that have to be healed, starting with mm-hmm. the mind.
Right.
Your spirit has to be healed. You have to be mended. You know, for me, I had to go to a place in God. Mm-hmm. I was on my face. I'm just going to be honest. I had to be, because there was nothing or nobody else that could help me scrape up the remnants of myself or what was left. I had to go back and pick up the pieces and figure how to be what the Bible says, jointly fit. And it's a process. Am I all the way there? No. I'm still working on that journey. It's nonstop.
So true.
Nonstop. I'm working on myself. Every day I get up and I say, how do I recreate myself? How can I be a better me? You know, that's a process. You don't do that overnight.
Right.
It's taken me a long time and I'm still not there, but I have reached a place of healing, where I know that God has equipped me to help others heal. But I couldn't do it. You know, I talked about a book many years ago, picked up the pen, put the pen down. Couldn't do it. Why? I wasn't healed. What are you going to write about? What are you going to write about? You can't write about what hasn't happened to you yet. Right. I had to experience some healing in order to be in the position to talk about how to be healed.
So true. I so agree with you there. And this has been so amazing. And thank you for sharing your story. This was so much fun. I couldn't wait for you to get on here and everything like that. Well, we're getting ready to close down the today's show. But before we do that, is there any lasting words that you would like to leave the listeners with?
I would just like to say that because you're broken does not mean that you have to stay broken. There is restoration. The title of my CD that I'm working on now that's going to be released hopefully in July is Broken Pieces Restored. Because you don't have to stay broken. Healing is there for you. There are ways to recover and get your life back. I'm a witness.
And with that being said, Ms. Rhonda, would you like to leave any lasting words?
I concur wholeheartedly with everything she says. You don't have to stay. We say you can learn to live again. And, you know, one day at a time.
That's right.
One day at a time.
Sometimes it might be one moment at a time. But one thing you do is keep pushing.
Absolutely.
You keep pushing because you got the victory. So
that's why she's my assistant. I love her. Now you see why she's on my team.
Yes, I do.
But I have to say, one other thing I do have to say, that through this journey in the last 3 or 4 years, Dr. Marlene Carson has been my mentor and still is. And I'm going to tell you something. Knowing that woman changed my life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
She encouraged me. She prayed for me. She interceded for me. You know, like I was a sister. Mm-hmm. I mean, she really went to bat for me. Mm-hmm. And she helped me make it back to a place where I could find out who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that God still had a place, that it wasn't too late.
Right.
That was the trick. The trick that kept me in bondage so long. I thought it was too late. I thought it was too old. I thought I couldn't pull it off. Too much time had gone by. But she let me realize it's not too late. It's never too late. And so I have to say on the air, I love that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because she helped me get back to a place that I didn't think that I could reach. And I love Dr. Marlene Carson for that. So I just had to say, hey, Dr. Marlene, I love you. I love you. And my mother, and my kids. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know what was wrong with their mother.
Right. Well, ladies, ladies, this was so powerful and impactful. If anybody out there had missed the beginning of our amazing show today, you can catch it on any of the podcast platforms. And if you like, share, you know, like I always say, sharing is caring. So share it around and always drop a comment. Let us know how we're doing, or if there's something else you would like to hear or talk about. Until next week, everyone, I have bring on another amazing woman. Take care of yourself. And as I always say, you go after your vision and be your vision and no one else. Until next week, everyone, be amazing and take care of yourself.
Thank you, Pam.
That was nice.